This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Roy Bejarano. Roy is the founder and CEO of Scale Healthcare. He's built a fascinating business. We're going to get a chance to visit about it today and what they see. And they're right at the forefront of some of the key trends in healthcare. Roy, can you take a moment to tell us about what Scale Healthcare does and some of the things you're seeing today and involved in today?
Absolutely, Scott, and thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. So just in as concise as a way as possible, which is not easy because we do a lot of things, essentially we're focused on all platforms that are in turn focused on providing care across the country, across the U.S., regardless of clinical specialty. So all specialties are of interest to us, and really regardless of structure and form. So MSOs are of interest. Independently owned practices are of interest, healthcare systems, outpatient facilities, derivatives of the provision of care. So other clinical specialties like specialty pharma and pathology, clinical research, really anything that falls within the ecosystem of providing care is of interest to us. And what I mean by interest is, like other wonderful institutions out there, we're primarily interested in helping. And so it's how we interpret how best we can be helpful that really differentiates us, makes us somewhat unique. So our way of helping is by creating what we think is one of the strongest MSOs, management service organizations in the country, judged by the number and the quality of the experts and the experience that we've amassed here at Scale. But what's different about us is that we are not interested in Scale Healthcare employing, acquiring, or partnering with its own physicians, or its in turn physician patients. We don't have a single physician, and we don't have a single patient. Now, our reason for being is to take all that MSO capability and offer it to other MSOs who do in turn have physicians and patients. And the logic or the rationale behind that is born of the experience that I and my partner Jason accumulated over the past decade, building our own MSO first and foremost, selling it to a much larger national private equity-backed MSO, and then in turn working with that national MSO to acquire other MSOs all over the country. And the lessons that we learned with our own MSO and then in turn by observing others time and time again were the same lessons, which is that it's a difficult build. Essentially, every one of these healthcare platforms is more a conglomerate than a simple one-dimensional business, and that in being responsible for so many different revenue streams, so many different services in manufacturing, they use the terms SKUs, so many different products, management teams are frequently overwhelmed. They're all working very hard, and they're usually underarmed in terms of experience, expertise, and in some cases, just bodies, human capital. And that mismatch between what's needed versus what exists is very expensive. It's expensive in terms of lost revenue opportunities, expensive in terms of mismanaged resources, expensive in terms of competing with other groups that have those resources. And over time, that disconnect becomes ever more visible to the management team as the years roll by. And in some cases, it metastasizes. And the issues within a billing department or an IT department or a payer contractor department get worse as that platform scales. They don't actually get better. It's not always the case, but it's very often the case. And so we're really there to try to help address that gap between what's needed and versus what exists. And we do that by bringing in our own team, our own way of helping, which is also quite unique. There's many different layers of uniqueness to us. But fundamentally, that's what we are. We're the broadest and deepest healthcare platform focused on helping other platforms in the country. So a little bit different than your typical very large consulting shop or very micro, very niche, very focused consulting shop. We don't even think of ourselves as a consulting shop. Think of ourselves as a management group that's there to help other management teams.
And take a moment on specific specialties. Where are some of the things that you're seeing that are most interesting today in terms of platform developments and certain specialties? What specialties are you seeing some of the more interesting things evolving?
Well, we're seeing interesting things in every specialty, which is not necessarily the answer that maybe you're looking for. But we can't help but call it as it is. It doesn't mean to say that some specialties aren't generating higher economic rent than others. There are groups that are paid very well, higher acuity groups like cardio or ortho, that typically generate a lot of cash, especially when you solve for how to move some of those procedures to outpatient settings and solve for ownership opportunities. There are groups that are growing very large, very quickly at a macro level, like behavioral, that's actually manifesting in many different ways. Behavioral plus primary care. There are groups that are focusing on the traditional migration of inpatient to outpatient. There's still a lot of momentum behind ASC bills. In fact, renewed momentum in de novo ASCs. There are groups that have historically been consolidating for years and are just further ahead in terms of best practice, what's working, what isn't, as you scale. Dental and derm and opto, I would say, fall into those categories. There are groups that are entering the consolidation space and are really at stage one, from our perspective at least, like ENT and allergy, and podiatry is another example. There are groups that haven't been formed yet. The redefining of, for example, the musculoskeletal space. What are you including and what are you excluding? The redefining of multi-specialty, the redefining of value-based care.
So take a moment, Roy, if you would. Take a moment on what are the two or three specialties that Scala spent the most time in?
Yeah, so it's interesting. Without necessarily planning for it, behavioral health has been our most frequent by number of engagements. Obviously, the way that we work, you could spend an enormous amount of resources on any one engagement. We've had engagements where we've deployed up to 20 Scala operators, which is also a reflection of what we do and the breadth that we cover. But we've also, in terms of quantity of engagement, behavioral health is top. Then I think there's examples in ophthalmology, in multi-specialty. Obviously, we have a history in ambulatory surgery centers, which is the first MSO that we built, dental. So we've been busy in almost every specialty, but I'd say
areas? You mentioned a couple areas that were very early innings. Which areas are very early in consolidation?
So ENT and allergy seems very early to me, especially the relationship, the dynamics between allergy and ENT is still being worked out. I would say multi-specialty in primary care and value-based care is still early, even though we've seen rapid growth from some of the larger well-backed consolidators. The complexity of executing an at-risk business model is still beyond most. And so I think as that complexity gets addressed over time, how to do it, when to do it, what the cost is, I think you'll see more and more transition into that space. Also, I mentioned podiatry is very early. I think derm plus cosmetic plastics is an interesting space as opposed to traditional derm. I think we've seen very little consolidation amongst plastics. And then you also have to leave the possibility that some groups like neurology and even cardiology might be laggards for years, if not decades to come, because they have structural differences that really preclude or prevent them from consolidating at a rapid pace. I'm not sure that everything is going outpatient.
No. And talk for a moment about, is your typical customer a private equity fund investing in these platforms? It is a smaller platform growing into a bigger platform. Who typically hires Scala Healthcare?
Yeah, so I was actually thinking of putting together a sort of top 10 most busy, popular ways of hiring Scala and making it available to the marketplace because we're so busy in so many different ways. But if I had to segment it into certain buckets, I would say about 40% of our business on any given day is private equity based. Now, within that 40, the mix or the ratio of pre-investment versus post-investment changes when we first started. Very heavy pre-investment due diligence work. And over the past year, it's really balanced out. It's now 60% post-investment existing portfolio company work where we help the management teams of private equity-backed platforms execute, and 40% is pre-investment due diligence. And then you're left with another 20% of our business is called lender-based due diligence. And then the remaining 40% of our business is independent platforms. They can be small, medium, and large. Large several hundred million dollars of revenue, small all the way down to $15 million of revenue. And if you look at the core services that we're offering, five services probably represent 80% of what we're doing, and then a whole variety of services represent the remaining 20%. So those five that we call really core, they come up again and again and again, are billing performance enhancement, payer contracting enhancement, marketing enhancement, which is a grossly underserved space in terms of expertise, patient marketing and peer-to-peer marketing and brand development within healthcare, and then IT systems, and then the last one, which is rapidly becoming actually our largest, is finance and accounting, where time and time again, reporting is weak, CFOs are coming and going, controllers are coming and going, the size of the finance team is not as large as it should be for the size of the company, and there's just reporting malfunction across the organization. Systems aren't speaking to each other. So one of the nice things about us is when we get involved, we're always looking at every one of those challenges holistically and across multiple disciplines. And it is amazing, I would say 9 times out of 10, whatever problem or opportunity we're looking at is begging for a multidisciplinary approach in terms of solutions. No better example than practice integration, which I think speaks to a lot of the portfolio company work that we're doing for sponsors, because they're all busy acquiring and integrating. It's no better example of something that you really need to look at across 10, 12 different disciplines if you're really going to get the job done.
And Roy, one final question. How do people learn more about Scale Healthcare? How do they get in touch with you? How do they learn more about what you guys do?
Well, we've spent a lot of time on our website. We get a lot of feedback on how much we share on our website. And it was intentional because we are a somewhat complex business, but nevertheless worth the time because there's so much that we offer. So that's scale-healthcare.com. I think that would be the best place to start. And within the website, there's a lot of white papers, podcasts, webinars. There's a lot of information on our clients, on our team. I think we have 75 healthcare executives that are part of our team right now. I don't think there's anything like that in the country. So I think that would be the best place to start. And then anyone can call me directly. I'm more than happy to spend the time with anyone who's interested.
Roy, I want to thank you for taking the time to educate our audience today on what Scale does and what you're doing. Thank you so much for taking some time with us today at the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thank you very much.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you, Scott. Take care.